This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that.
Hey, this is GunSully in Washington, D.C.
This is TechSully, actually heading to my old house, so the audio is going to be the same as when I was heading to my old house all the time.
All right. Wonderful. Okay.
I think the lead-off news, we have to talk about a beloved hero who died this past week, completely non-controversial figure that is loved by millions.
And who is that?
Star of Firefly and a couple other television shows, Ron Glass. Fantastic.
Really?
Lost him this week. Really sad. Were you thinking of anybody else that died that might be worth noting?
I know, I was, and I didn't know. I didn't know a sci-fi celebrity had passed away. I apologize. I'm out of the loop.
He was 71 years old, died of respiratory failure, and had some health problems for a while. But in life, he was a fantastic man, both on set and when he was in his private life. He donated much of his time and money to the Wooten Center in California, which helps at-risk children go be all they can be educationally. So if you're a fan of Firefly, consider making a donation to the Wooten School or the Wooten Center.
Well, that's wonderful. We'll definitely put a link to that. And I want to bring up, I'm always plugging our charity that we helped out with that's still going on with the Wounded Warrior Project. Twitterjar.pcud.us. We also need to get those... As soon as you have a time to breathe, I need you to help us with the, because I want swearjar.thepodcast.com, because nobody, I want us to be able to, I want us to be able to steal that away from the Pythians, do it ourselves. But no, it's still their thing. We're just plugging it. Let's plug the charity events and that. It was Giving Tuesday yesterday. It was also Top 10 Tuesday yesterday, and I actually recorded a Top 10 Tuesday episode and did not post it because I knew it wasn't perfect yet. I think. You need to help me out with this. I think we are up to 22 songs, which means we need 8 more to make 3 separate top 10 lists for the Ultimate Music Top 10 Tuesday. And if anyone listening is a member of our contributors forum online, they know that we are making lists of talk rock songs. My thought was we have a list of the top 10 talk rock songs of all time, and then that spiraled into a list of the funniest top 10 funniest talk rock and the top 10 coolest talk rock, and now it is funniest, coolest, and arguable, where we can pile all the stuff that people have suggested that don't quite fit into talk rock. I was even thinking maybe Let Me Go by Cake could go into arguable, and that would be fitting because we have a Cake song in both of the cool and funny lists, so putting a Cake song that's arguably talk rock would also be ironic and funny, because there are some Cake songs where he sings more than talks, so I don't want to be the kind of person that ignores a genre shift. Also, can I just say, this topic, please go ahead, please continue. What were you saying?
Well, I was going to say, one that would definitely be arguably one like Weird Al's Purity of Trapped in a Closet.
Well, I don't think we could include parodies by Weird Al, but I think we could include original songs by Weird Al that are talk rock, such as, I believe he did a song where he's basically just listing things that he hates about the girl that he's breaking up with. And, and then it just gets funnier and funnier and weirder and weirder. I feel like we shouldn't do parodies. But yeah, there were so many great parodies of Trapped in a Closet. I wonder if we should include Trapped in a Closet.
Because it's rap, so it's, I mean, we're trying to include rap.
But is it rap? I don't think so. I think it's R&B. I think here's the thing, just because a rap artist is doing it doesn't make it rap, you know? I don't know. We'll have to listen to it. The other one that I thought goes in the arguable category that I totally blanked on was, Dear Daddy, I write you, in spite of years of silence, you've cleaned up, found Jesus, things are so good, are good, oh so I hear. You know, that was, yeah, Weezer, Say It Ain't So, and I thought, yeah, it's kind of talking, you know,
but then they got the power chorus in there.
Yeah, but I am including other songs that have singing in the chorus, so it doesn't have to, well, even Cake will sing at different points in their songs, so it's not, Cake defines talk rock, then there can be singing in the chorus.
Well, okay, just a fun story about Say It Ain't So by Weezer. One of my favorite things to do is have that song playing, and when the power chorus comes up, I scare the crap out of my kids by singing as loud as I possibly can with the chorus. It's fun because they'll forget, but, you know, the song's on the radio all the time, and they're writing with their mother most of the time, and then they'll be in the car with me, and it'll come up, Saturday song, and the kids will be like, good Lord, Dad, stop it.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
My daughter made me proud the one time we were standing in the line to check out at a store, and that song's barely audible over the audio system. And so I'm reaching for my wallet, focusing on, all right, I'm the third guy in line. And then George just screams out, laughing so hard I can't breathe.
That's absolutely brilliant. Can I also say that there is a lot of stressful stuff going on in the world at all times. Even if we weren't dealing with trying to make money and all that, we still got all the politics and the division. And I have to tell you, this making this music top 10 list, it has been absolutely cathartic. It has been so wonderful. Just, it's a total break from everything, and it's another reason why we need to focus on music.podcast.com so we can get this set up right, so we can have some of these awesome music discussions and focus on that.
I definitely like that. Hey, sorry, one more fun to do if you have children. Oh crap! Hold on, let me put you on hold for a second.
All right. I never know what happens when he puts me on hold. I don't know. I don't know if it still keeps recording on Google. If Google's recording me talking right now, or if because he's the one who instigated the recording, does it like silence me when he puts me on hold? I never know, but say it ain't so. Whoa, whoa. That is a great song. What the fuck? Yeah, we need to get back into discussing rap and rock and all that fun stuff. Bassline and all the cakes. Cake has great bass. And I'm a fat guy, so I love Cake.
Alright.
Hello.
Sorry about the dead air there.
I don't know. Is it dead air when you put me on hold? Or can it still respond to me? That's what I want to know. Check it out. I maintained.
It does record you. The one time I had to go through and edit out because you were making raspberries the whole time. You're like, baby, baby. I was like, I gotta edit that out.
I made those to prevent dead air. That was raspberry art, sir.
Yes. Because this is
mine. You censored my music.
What I was going to say before my thing rang, so a fun way to ruin your children, if you have children, and like, I don't know if mom and dad is sort of putting pressure on you yet, but for my daughter, for the past, I don't know, 6 years, every time I say cash, anytime anybody says cash, I say, cash money, playa. And my daughter would say, why do you say that every time? So the other day, my dad goes, do you have cash? And Joy goes, cash money, playa. Every time. You got to break your children. It's your God-given right as a parent to, in humorous and fun ways, destroy your child.
Yes. I do think it's interesting to see people repurpose like phrases that sometimes have really, really horrible meanings.
Playa started out as a terrible thing. Illen changed. The original song, crap, who was it by? Was it Beastie Boy? No, not Beastie Boys. Run DMC, You Be Illen. Guy walks in the Kentucky Fried Chicken, puts down a quarter in his order, says, large fries, Big Mac, you be yelling. I probably just clobbered the lyrics, but, the Dylan used to mean, hey, you're sick in the head, hey, you know, you ain't right. And, Dylan now means, something cool. Like, man, you are Dylan. It's like, so, that word shifted in my lifetime.
Tech, the authority on hip hop culture. I wanted to get Brian's commented on the podcast before on he's been on the show before on political issues, but I've noticed from his feed that he actually is a connoisseur of old school hip hop, and I wanted his validation that Lil Wayne doesn't want to be sort of cornered as just a hip hop guy. Lil Wayne thinks of himself as a rock star, so some of his songs are meant to be ingested as rock songs. So, now one of the songs that I've singled out to be in the list, and I think it might have to go into the arguable list, is I Am Not a Human Being by Lil Wayne, which there are some lines in that song that do make me laugh, but there also is just all the worst stereotypes of hip-hop. I mean, you know, subjugation of women, violence, just gratuitous violence, talking about shooting people in the head, and then threatening police at the end, which is like, those are three things that we don't really stand for, but there are a couple lines that are sort of funny, and if you really suspend your understanding of reality, and if you don't think, gee, this is indicative of a culture that is there are a couple lines that are sort of funny, and if you really suspend your understanding of reality, and if you don't think, gee, this is indicative of a culture that is horribly virus in the background. What was that?
Hold on. Yeah, you just went full robot and then went away for a minute.
Ah.
I was going to say a corollary to what you're saying. You can separate the art and the art and even from the artist and enjoying it. A good example is Neil Gaiman, one of my favorite authors, in his short stories collection, which is called Fragile Things, I think, or Small Fragile Things. It has things in the title. We can link it in the show notes. But there are reprehensible characters that he writes in the first person as. A guy who is a killer and enjoys underage hookers. And he's writing in the first person, and listening to the audiobook was more than a little disturbing, because you're like, wow, this sounds like a guy bragging about doing that. So, that's, you know, you definitely can separate the artist, because, you know, nobody thinks, oh, that's what Neil Gaiman likes. You know, you realize, hey, you know, he's an author. That's what he's doing. He's being evocative. He's making you feel and think. He's doing his job, and that's entirely what musicians are doing when they do those things. So when they put the music, a perfect example. Dr. Dre is kind of more of a kid from the suburbs than anything else, but his music is evocative and has a lot of those themes of violence and struggles on the street, even though that was not the experience you probably had growing up.
Yeah, it's one of those things when I'm listening to that stuff. My only issue is having lost a friend to violence in the street. I know that people listen to this stuff and they are inspired to do the bad stuff. They're not inspired to be artists. Who one day someone will go, oh, I should separate them from music and enjoy this for the artistic quality. There are people who listen to the violent part and go, yeah, that's my anthem. I will shoot people in the head. I will do this and that. And that's kind of my only problem with that sort of, that sort of music and that sort of intellectual understanding of it is, there's the two understandings of it that are completely misunderstandings of it, in some senses, where you'll have the people who just go, oh, well, I just like the beat. And then you'll have the other people who go, yeah, this is my anthem. And then, of course, you have the intellectual understanding of it, which is somebody going, oh, this is art. But somewhere in between those two, the this is a beat, this is an anthem, there's a lot of poor life choices made, and yeah. I've personally been affected by a friend of mine gunned down in the street, and it's you know it's just whenever I hear violent music that just flippantly talks about murder, it bothers me. And it, yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the things where, but like you said, as an intellectual, you can separate yourself from the things, and that's why I did incorporate a Lil Wayne song on the list. As an intellectual experiment there, and I gotta say, if you listen to the uncensored one, it's there are some funny parts in the middle of the whole song, and but if you listen to the radio edit censored version, you probably won't be able to make out anything.
Yeah,
I never understand why they bother on some songs. A good example, CeeLo, the
Forget You.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And my boss had only heard the Glee version, had never heard the original. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, you've had a completely different experience from me, because man, when that first came out, I was like, man, this is a fantastic song. It's got it. It's defiant. It's got all the elements. I'm like, it's a shame it'll never be able to be played on the radio. And then they changed it to Forget You, and I'm like, eh, you're losing some teeth, you know?
Right. Now, I 100% agree with you. When I heard the FU song, I thought it was so funny. It reminded me of whenever you'd be listening to a band that's generally sweetie cutie stuff, and then they get angry at one point, you know, and then you're like, whoa, where did this come from? You know, like Stacked Actors by Foo Fighters. When I'm hearing that song, I'm like, holy crap, who? Peed off Dave Grohl when he wrote this. This is ridiculous. You know, it's one of those things that it had that real edgy, funny feeling, and Forget You completely 100% lost it, because there was a contrast between the pop wall of sound pop music that is being played and the happy beat. And then of course CeeLo has a very light, not, I wouldn't say high pitched, but it's still a soprano sort of, he's not a deep voice singer. And, so he's got this sort of light friendly voice and this happy music. And then he's saying F you. And it reminded me of an Israeli teacher I saw once that has, a little stick figure holding a little really cute drawn stick figure holding up flowers, and it's drawn with crayon, and it has in Hebrew writing written underneath it just this cute handwriting, and the translation is "Go F yourself."
Nice, yeah. And a lot of if you follow a lot of Asian bands. The K-pop stars are often wearing shirts that have English phrases on them, and you're like, okay, clearly she reads no English, but she's wearing that shirt. I don't know what the thought is behind that, where, you know, you put something horribly offensive on a shirt that you know somebody is not going to be able to read it is buying it. And I'm sure all these Chinese symbol shirts that people walk around with in America have horrific things or goofy things.
Well, there are some like Sobe Energy. Do you remember Sobe? Is that even still around?
I think it's part of some Globochem Mass Corporation thing. I think it still exists out there somewhere.
Sobe, organic natural drink owned by DuPont.
Yeah, roughly. Wait, don't badmouth DuPont. You know which town I'm in right now.
they will come after you.
Yes. DuPont people to buy my house.
So, So yeah, the we're talking about music, fun stuff, dark implications of violence, and me being an absolute bummer, and I apologize. I would say that when we're like, here's a fun topic, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen death.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a natural thing, though, with humans. And you can see this online. Twitter is a rage factory. If you follow you look at the people I follow on Twitter, they are always angry about something. A couple of the people that I follow, like Biff Nake is one, she's always offering the solution. She's crazy far on the left, vegan, you know, so it's always like, you know, animal welfare kind of things, but she always stays positive, always focuses on, hey, donate here for the solution. She never says, here's what the problem is. She only focuses on the solution. And you look, the number of retweets, the number of likes and all that, there's about a third of the rage monsters on Twitter, and I don't even have to name the names, but, you know, they'll get 200 retweets or likes or whatever, because if something makes you angry, that is more of fuel than positivity. How I'm always saying, hey, I'm not going to complain about the problem unless I think I have a solution. I'm by saying that out loud, I'm saying I want slightly less traction for my ideas. But the thing is, the people who are motivated by the good, people who are motivated by altruistic things, get more done. They make action, they take action, whereas rage people fuel off of each other, attack each other, and you don't accomplish anything. All you do is, congratulations, you've raged.
Yeah. Can I just say that that I like to, alright, I have to, alright, so we're talking about rage and trolls on the internet and stuff, and I do want to say that one day I gave myself a hand cramp. Cause I was in a waiting area and I noticed that President Obama was doing a press conference in Germany and I don't know if you're familiar with Facebook Live and how it works, but generally there's a square video that pops up, of an event, and then, you can talk, about the event with other people. So if it's a massive event or a massively followed event, there will be a solid stream, and no matter how hard you try, you will never be able to flood that stream because there's so many people commenting. I made it a habit to troll those streams by just like, saying, you know, as a libertarian, I asked the question that needed to be asked in this last election, what is Aleppo? And I would generally just, like, ask that a billion times, so there's, like, all these other people are, and I have to say, it's not a lot of people get that. I know it's a big deal for us, and it was a big deal for pundits who were trying to make fun of the third party candidates, but it's just funny when you see President Obama and Angela Merkel and they're talking, and then there's just, what is Aleppo? Down at the bottom, the keeps popping up. And then I kept posting things like German Hillary looks sad. And I mean, I honestly didn't move. I just kept writing things, and it wouldn't let me paste into it for some reason. So I literally had to keep writing original things every time. And sometimes it would be the same thing. Sometimes I would have to swipe it in there every time. And next thing I know, I was like, how long have I been watching this? And you know how you like sort of hold your phone when you're like swiping and paying attention to something, and you've got it like, you've got your your arm, like, sort of, like, T-Rex armed right up next to you. I had my arm like that for probably 15 minutes, and it hurt when I extended my arm. That's how long I had been, like, doing it and swiping. And I was having so much fun. So I go back and I look, oh, by the way, at the very end of the press conference, one guy clapped. It was so sad. Like, you have the leader of Germany and President Obama, and just one person is like... So when I watched it with Sophia, I was like, let's hear if they've added applause. So we went back to the video. I can't remember if we watched it on YouTube or on Facebook, but when you go back and listen, they've added applause, but it has a proper, like, start and finish sort of with the applause, but you can still hear the one guy clapping. Like, so... And his audio is totally different than the audio of the applause. Like, so it's funny to hear. You as a sound guy can probably validate canned applause as being a thing that exists.
Most of the canned applause is even, it's from a very limited number of sources. So, you know, you if you hear canned applause, the people who are clapping have been dead for decades.
I'm not laughing at them being dead. I'm laughing at the fact that you could probably do some sort of reverse sound search to find where the White House press office purchased their royalty-free applause soundtrack.
There is a sound effect used in almost every video game and many television shows that I know for a fact, because I know the sound man who recorded it, is the sound of somebody striking the stripper pole at a strip club in Seattle and recording the sound.
Wow.
It's included in one of those sets, and so every time I hear that sound, I'm like, that's hilarious, because I know the guy that recorded that.
Wow, okay, that's, you know, like you said, you can always trust a sound man, you know?
The corollary is be nice to your sound man.
Yes, okay, so we were talking about the trolling and all that, so I told my wife about that. I forgot to, after it was all said and done, I went back, and you know, Facebook notifies you when people like your comments. And my Facebook notification thing was lit up. I had people from all around the world liking my comments. Like, whether it was What is Aleppo or thepodcast.com and then our phone number, no matter what it was, we had somebody liking it. And it was so funny to see that for somebody out there, I was entertaining them with my ridiculous trolling. And of course, I would like to point out that I don't troll violently or racially or on homophobic stuff. I hate the people who just say absolutely morally reprehensible stuff that they don't believe in just to get a rise out of somebody else. I feel like that's so cheap.
You say morally reprehensible things that you believe in.
Yes, you anti-gun pansy. All right, so, but my wife was steaming yesterday because she likes the Gilmore Girls, and she watched a Facebook Live questionnaire, or not Facebook Live interview of the actresses from the Gilmore Girls, and they were going to take questions from the internet, so people were supposed to be commenting their questions, but they said they didn't want to do anything with spoilers. Well, now that the whole season is out, but they said, oh, some of the people in this audience haven't seen the whole season yet, so we can't answer anything with spoilers. Which kind of drove everybody online nuts, because most people who liked the show had already watched all the episodes that had come out, and they wanted to ask questions about those episodes. So they weren't answering those questions, and I was joking with Sophia. I said, "Oh, so that would be like doing Talking Dead, and then saying, you know, oh, we can't talk about the episode because there'd be spoilers."
Yeah.
So, all right, so I said, "Oh, maybe that was what they wanted them to do. They wanted to be like, hey, this is a question for Lauren. Were you upset when Negan killed the Asian guy?" So, sorry, if I was watching,
spoilers from other movies they've been in, movies and shows they've been in.
Yeah. That would be funny too. I told Sophia though. I said I would have provided with them with a question that they could have answered. Somebody on the stage would have gone, "Okay, we do have one question that won't involve spoilers. This one's for Alexa. What is Aleppo?" I'm bad at the internet. Everyone knows that by now. Okay.
So some other minor world figure died, and I'm of two minds on the American response. Have they already had the funeral for the Hawaii 5-0 actor who died, 49 years old, and he's.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about? Wait, who are you talking about? Castro?
No. I keep joking. I mean, I keep leading into real deaths of people, but making people think I might be talking about Castro. But yeah, a Hawaii 5-0, the remake actor has passed on. He was 49. So that's, you know, a bit of sad news, but.
That's young.
Yeah, really young. You just can't stop killing celebrities.
I know. You know, one of my friends probably knows that guy too. I don't know if you've seen me repost some of Ethan's. One of my friends was a bit actor in Hawaii 5-0 because he was stationed out there, and he's gorgeous. Yeah, that's jealousy in my voice. Anyway, he was stationed out in Hawaii with the Air Force, and apparently he can get off base enough to be an extra on Hawaii 5-0 a couple times. So I'll have to ask him about that if he knew the guy. That's 49 is super young too. I gotta say that's shocking.
Crazy young. I didn't hear the cause of death, but. So okay. So we've joked. Enough about real people who died. How about the fake guy that died? The 98 years old inventor of the Big Mac just died.
Oh, that's ridiculous! You got to be kidding. The inventor of the Big Mac.
Yeah, I am not kidding. My name was Michael Jim. Crap! I'm blanking on the last name, but guy invents the Big Mac and somehow lives to be 98.
Yeah, I know. I mean, one of the things, now that I'm on the Atkins diet, and I'm sort of understanding now how my great-grandfather lived to be in was it early 90s? Grandpa King? Yeah, Grandpa King made it to his early 90s. By eating just lots of fat. Everything he ate was fatty. And it's funny, the Big Mac, though, is not. The Big Mac is kind of exactly the sort of food that they would tell you to steer clear from in the Atkins diet, because it's not fatty, and not only does bread work against you with people with slow metabolisms, but the guy who made the Big Mac decided to put another piece of bread in there. It's like, this doesn't have enough bread. We need to put more bread in this. So, yeah.
Live to be 98.
Yeah, so maybe he was just trying to pawn his bread burger off to the public so he could eat all the fat burger and live to 98. Okay, do we want to talk about the racist homophobic guy that Jill Stein loves?
Yeah. It's amazing. You've already posted some of these things, but yeah. Okay, so we'll quit joking about it. Yes, Fidel Castro died. I'm of two minds because you've been more hardline against Cuba itself. I'm all for the Cuban people because they were the ones under the thumb of the dictator. Like I've said, some fantastic engineers in that country that I would absolutely love to spend time with. The things that they can do with a 57 Chevy, just drop your jaw.
Yeah. That's something.
So the question is, and this is an area I think you and I would disagree on, is what should America do? What should our response be? Should we send a representative of the state to go to a funeral or memorial or whatever?
I don't know. It's one of those bizarre situations where you really do see. I think Obama was in a way trying to end the cycle of propaganda, which the Democrats back in the 60s and before that actually were using Cuba as a propaganda post. As basically they were using Cuba as this scary bad guy, and then they would occasionally do kind of a tokenistic attack on, which I don't mean to make it seem like a conspiracy guy here or anything, but we could have killed Castro. It's not
that big, man.
We're bigger than them. We could have brought a couple fleets and surrounded the island and done what Israel did What was the guy who looked like Admiral Akbar from Star Wars? Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat. Yeah. What Israel did to Yasser Arafat, where they basically just blocked off everything around his little compound and enforced him out. And that's basically, we could have done that a long, long time ago. We didn't. We sent like one fleet of 50 dudes, which I could kind of imagine was basically a eugenics experiment. Basically, hey, here's people that we wouldn't send to other things, so we're going to send them on a suicide mission, which is a dark topic. But when we were doing stuff like the Sea of Pigs, there was still a lot of really dark elements to the intel community. So I see the posts about, oh, he survived hundreds of CIA assassination attempts, and I feel like the people who post those are gullible. When I see that, I just go, oh, you think, oh, I'm part of the counterculture. I'm posting something that's pro Castro. You're like, no, you're just as gullible as the people who thought Castro was the biggest threat to their freedom. You're just as gullible as the person going, man, if we don't kill that Castro fellow, we're all going to die. You're just as gullible as him, because that's the thing that Castro, who is basically in on this whole thing, and he's
super manipulative. When you actually hear about the way that they would manipulate their people into saving them, you know, like Munchausen by proxy, they would save them from these phantoms or save them from the U.S. They would save them from religion. Religion is this big thing, but they always would keep religion around as a foil to fight against. They would always keep some people pretending to be dissidents so that the government could have somebody to fight against. So, and that's what they would do to their own people. And the whole time, they would pretend that Castro is David and America is Goliath. And so people in the country would think, boy, I sure do wish I had more to eat. But I sure am glad that David is fighting Goliath for us. Because of their propaganda. And that,
to bring it back to the more immediate thing, Trump's already taken this crazy hardline stance on Cuba, which I'm thinking, you know, free market opens up, improves everybody's lives. If we have a free avenue of trade back and forth between a place that's basically got a all way around harbor around it.
Here's
a lot of trade benefit there. So
here's the thing, though. It's not a crazy hardline stance. A crazy hardline stance would be surrounding the place with naval vessels and invading. That would be a crazy hardline stance.
Taking a hardline position.
It's not a hardline position. It's a very common. This is one of the things that as critical of Trump as I've been, this is one of the things where Trump actually spoke some logic, because he pointed out one of the things that I've been screaming for years, which is, they did nothing. They did nothing to deserve freedom of trade between America. They had made no concessions. They still have cop killers. At least one cop killer from the United States having asylum in their country. They also still oppress religious minorities in their country. They still repress and abuse and torture the women in white. This is bad. They do things that are objectionably evil, and they have made no concession to fix that. They've never said, we want to meet you halfway, America. How can we meet you halfway? They've never said that. Obama just went over there with his hand out to get his hand shook, and nobody met him at the airport. They didn't even want to shake Obama's hand. It was all Obama doing this. There was no conversation from one side to the other. It was.
And I'm not saying I'm happy with that method either. I'm saying there'd be a way to enact change without regimes even noticing that it's happening. Is if there's free market economies trading back and forth.
I think there could have been other elements, other ways of communicating to them. We could have done a form of cyber warfare similar to what we used to do with there are countries around the world that it, like in the Eastern Bloc, there are countries around the world who would hear us broadcasting in their language on kind of like pirate radio. We would set up a Voice of America to broadcast, and we'd be in a friendly area, and we'd blast it on the short waves over to them. So you'd have some kid in Kyrgyzstan dialing up his AM radio, and what do you know? He can hear somebody talking about freedom and America and prosperity, and he's going, oh, okay, that's cool. Maybe those guys aren't the devils that I've heard them described as. And that was a way to change hearts and minds. We have a way to do that nowadays where we could literally, and you did this to me once. You literally took my computer over.
Yeah.
Now, the United States of America could do that to people in another country that are literally brainwashed to think that you and I are trying to kill them. every day. Every day, you and I wake up and we go, how can we kill the Cuban babies? And don't worry, though, the great leader will protect the Cuban babies from the evil Americans and the Jews. Like, there's so much weird brainwashing that's mixed into these dictatorial cults around the world. And we have an incredible ability to get in there now, way similar to what we have done for years successfully with Voice of America, but even more effective, more in your face. We could do like what Anonymous does, where they just break into stuff digitally and then just like toss it out there. Yeah, I mean, maybe it would have changed things if we did break into the databases for the communist regime in Cuba and show the manipulative planning sessions where they talk about how to specifically manipulate the proletariat, which should be incredibly demoralizing. It should be one of those come to the Lord moments for people when they see that, wow, the government literally sat down and said, how do I manipulate this stupid person? And by stupid person, I mean you. Like, when you read that, you should go, huh, maybe these people are douchebags. Which is something that when you live in a free country like ours, where you actually have the ability to get FOIA requests and actually see those things, I know that our politicians are douchebags. Because they do. They'll sit down and go, how do we get that rube? And you know, as an independent, oh man, my topic of discussion. I love it. I love being able to see that. And in other countries, a lot of places, they don't have the ability to see that. And I think in this future of WikiLeaks and Anonymous, could we just stop for a moment and just give thanks to Anonymous? Can we just thank them?
You have to remember they're not your personal army.
I know they are not. They are a force of chaos. They are entropy. They will tear us all apart. They are time ever growing closer to squeezing us to death. But they are still something that just reminds us of that, and we love that. We love seeing it. We love seeing that chaos engine. And I do have to say, the only criticism I of course have is the Guy Fawkes mask. I don't get it. I don't get the Guy Fawkes thing.
It's not that they're Guy Fawkes fans. It's that they're it's a mask. You know, it's a cheap mask to buy in bulk.
Here's what I think. I feel like they wanted to go for somebody who sticks it to power, who challenges authority and wears a mask, but like Zorro is too G-rated and played out. So they're like, oh, who else can we go for? And then of course the Wachowski brother and sister come up with V for Vendetta, which has a very confusing take. What was that?
The proper term for the Wachowskis is Wachowski sisters. They both transitioned.
The Wachowski what?
Sisters.
Oh, are they both sisters now?
Yeah.
What? You know what?
Because I'm a famous Hollywood director, I have to keep up with the other famous Hollywood directors.
Yes, you are, Guillermo. I remember. I apologize. I thought you were being a know-it-all, and then I remembered we need to do that. Also, Charlie Hunnam keeps calling me by mistake. I keep telling him
that was actually revealed on the Nerdist podcast, so it's kind of fresh news.
Yeah, I have to say, you know my thoughts on the subject. I think guys should be gay if they're gay. I think they should be totally fine with their gayness if they're gay. If they're in touch with their feminine side, they should be like Eddie Izzard and put on a dress and feel it up. Just do your thing. You know, if you want to be accepted, I'll accept you. If you want to be a freak, I'll say fly your freak flag. But when you start chopping off your body parts, that's where I say no. No, no, no. This is all the parts of you, even the parts that you think are kind of weird, maybe you weren't supposed to have those. All those parts are made by this incredible universe around us that fills us with life and connects all the atoms with the Higgs field that we're all still speculating about. It's this incredible universe. And the fact that it came together to give you that penis is something that just none of this makes sense. We are just exploding into space.
Yeah,
for you to go, hey, universe, universe.
All the same forces you're describing there created that appendix that nearly killed me at age 19. So I chopped out that part of me.
Wait, what?
My appendix at 19, you know, because was a part of me that was trying to kill me.
Yeah, I know, but the penis isn't trying to kill you.
Right, but if people, and here's the thing. People who study psychology, who are the experts on this, they say that people could be completely psychologically healthy and trans and chop off parts that they don't feel they need. So it is not for me to say what you can or can't do with your body.
I agree that it's not for us to say what people can do with their body. I agree with that. And I'm not saying that this should be outlawed. I am just saying, and this is my opinion that I am allowed to have, and I will not, just because I'm okay with the legality of it, I will not change my opinion. Because that's not how opinions work. My opinion doesn't change because of law or because of the Constitution. My opinion has been changed
by people that I've met.
I understand, but listen to my opinion before you interrupt here. Listen to my opinion. This universe, this divine intelligence put your body together, and yet you go, okay, universe, everything's pretty cool, but you did this part wrong. I'm just going to go ahead and start taking a bunch of chemicals and scheduling a lop-off from this in Brazil. So, that's where I have a problem, because instead of just enjoying this incredible situation we have and seeing how much fun things you can do with that member, there's a lot of fun things too. If you think there aren't, I don't think you've found the internet.
All right, I have to wrap it up. Someday you and I are going to have to actually bring in and I'll see if my trans friend is willing to come on and
it's fine, but I'm of the Norton mindset. If you want boobs, you can add the boobs on there. Just don't chop other things off, you know? Like Jim Norton loves trannies, just so you know.
Be careful, because that's a term that has a use in porn, but not in polite circumstances. It's basically they're in porn,
and that's the type that he likes.
He likes
the kind that are in porn.
And Jim Norton gets away with saying it because he's a comedian and he's established that, but, you know, my goal is to offend as few people as possible in my daily life.
See, this is why we fail, because we'll be having fun and then I'll be like, hey, I've been covered in another man's blood before, and then just everything just goes to a screeching halt. And then I'll be having fun, and then you'll be like, well, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. So we're just Debbie Downers, okay? We are just terrible. We're terrible in recording. You should feel ashamed.
Let's finish this then on the highest note possible. In my opinion, you stated your opinion. In my opinion, I say that people should do whatever they believe they need to do to reach the highest state of happiness they can achieve in this life, because by gum, you have one life, live it to the absolute extent that you feel that you can wring out of that life.
All right. You've inspired me. You've changed my position. I am going to go put my brain into an Adrian Barbeau bot.
That is the absolute perfect way to end this.
All right. Good night, brother. Keep talking it out.
All right.
Bye.